On October 16, 1999, a woman called 911. According to the dispatcher, the caller was crying, screaming, pleading for her life. The woman said she'd been tied up and raped and had struggled to the phone, dialing with her tongue. The caller was afraid her assailant would return. She did not say she'd been smoking crack or losing consciousness. Units were subsequently dispatched to the location. Reporter's transcript 2, 1208 to 1215. One of the Compton patrol officers who responded to the radio call heard a woman crying inside the home. She unlocked the door with her feet, and the police entered the house. The woman was laying on the living room floor wearing only a white blouse, her knees and ankles bound with tightly knotted bed sheets. Her elbows and wrists were bound behind her back. Her mouth was gagged with a piece of bed sheet and bound with duct tape wrapped around the back of her head. She was crying. Reporter's transcript 2, 1217 to 1224, 2, 1227. 7 to 1231. The officer untied the woman, cutting the duct tape out of her hair. Reporter's transcript 2, 1225. There were cut-up bed sheets and a pair of scissors on the floor next to the woman. Police recovered crack cocaine pipes, a hypodermic needle, an empty Ziploc baggie with cocaine residue, and an unwrapped condom from the bedroom next to the living room. The condom was on top of the bed. The other items were on top of the dresser. Reporter's transcript 2, 1233 to 1237, 2, 1244 to 1245, 2, 1247, 2, 1249. The preliminary hearing testimony of Virginia was read. Virginia testified that 11:30 p.m. on October 15, 1999, she was at home when her manager came in and told her there was some business outside. Virginia provides sex for money. She went outside. The manager indicated a red Nissan. Appellant was driving. Virginia got in the car, and they drove to appellant's house, agreeing on a price of $50, half of the money before, half after. There was no mention of bondage sex. Reporter's transcript 2, 1270 to 1274, 2, 1281 to 1283. Once inside, they went into appellant's bedroom. He gave her $25, and they sat for a while watching TV, doing cocaine, and drinking small bottles of wine. Appellant orally copulated Virginia, then told her he had to leave and get some crack. She waited for him, drinking and dozing off. When she awoke, appellant was squatting over her. She was bound, her hands taped together in front of her, her legs spread apart and taped to the bottom bedboard. She was wearing her bra, but her pants and panties had been removed. She had not agreed to be tied up. Virginia asked appellant what he was doing. He said, "You're fixing to get raped." Virginia dozed off twice before appellant left. He asked her if she was tired. She told him she was sick. Reporter's transcript 2, 1274 to 1276, 2, 1284 to 1288. Virginia taped appellant's mouth. He would get up periodically, seemingly nervous, taking hits of cocaine. He digitally penetrated her three times and felt her. He removed the tape so Virginia could orally copulate him. He orally copulated her. He was very rough, pulling her hair. At one point, Virginia said that he didn't have to do this, that all he had to do was ask her, even if he didn't have money to pay. Appellant said he didn't care. He told her to ask Keisha. She's done it before. Reporter's transcript 2, 1277 to 1280, 2, 1289 to 1290, 2, 1295 to 1298. After he was finished, appellant left, telling Virginia not to try to get away. She got one hand free and rolled and scooted to the phone, dialing 911 with her tongue. Virginia had never met appellant before that night. She didn't notice anything unusual about appellant's penis or scrotum. Reporter's transcript 2, 1280 to 1284, 2, 1291 to 1295, 2, 1298. Virginia was starting to withdraw from heroin that night and was nodding, dozing on and off throughout the incident. She had three 12-ounce bottles of Cisco before falling asleep. Reporter's transcript 2, 1285, 2, 1287 to 1288. It was stipulated that Virginia testified at appellant's preliminary hearing on February 8, 1999, sometime after 1:30 p.m. Virginia was pronounced dead on February 9, 1999 at 6:45 a.m. Reporter's transcript 2, 1299 to 1300. Evidence Code Section 1108, W and S. On May 12, 1995, W lived a block away from appellant in Nickerson Gardens. She was then freebasing cocaine. That evening, W was at home with her children when appellant came by to get his cocaine pipe. Appellant asked W if she wanted to go to his house to get high. She said she did and later walked to appellant's house. Reporter's transcript 3, 1502 to 1505. Once inside, W went into the bathroom. The lights went off. When they came back on, appellant had a knife at W's throat. He told her to undress. She refused. After some back and forth, appellant threatened to do it to W's 13-year-old daughter, S. W agreed to undress, and appellant threw her onto a mattress in the bedroom. He tied W's hands behind her back, tied her legs and ankles, and gagged and taped her mouth. Appellant orally copulated. W had her orally copulate him, then vaginally penetrated her. He asked W how she would like him to do that to her daughter. She said to leave her daughter alone. Reporter's transcript 3-1504 to 1508, 3-1512. Appellant called W, told W to call S and tell her to bring W some money. He said he would kill her if she didn't get S to come. When S arrived at 11 p.m., appellant pulled her inside. W heard S screaming, "Mommy, Mommy." Appellant put a knife to S's throat and told her to undress. He threw S naked onto the mattress next to W, who was still bound. W watched appellant rape her daughter. Appellant next took W and S into another room, saying he would kill them if they didn't cooperate. He went back and forth between W and S the rest of the night. He also vaginally penetrated W in front of S. As he touched S, S turned her back. At some point, appellant put a vibrator in S's vagina. He had her orally copulate him. S had never had sex before that night and told appellant that it hurt. Reporter's transcript 3-1509 to 1511, 3-1515 to 1519. Defense case. Dr. George Dubin is a surgeon psychiatrist who has treated drug alcohol addicts. He reviewed Virginia's autopsy report, which indicated that the cause of death was a multiple drug overdose in interaction with methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, and morphine. Given Virginia was pronounced dead at 6:45 a.m. on February 9, 1999, her death came within 15 to 16 hours after her preliminary hearing testimony. According to Dubin, Virginia was a chronic drug user, specifically of heroin. The heroin metabolite stays in the system for about 7 hours. If someone was nodding off, that would indicate they were under the influence. Someone under the influence can answer questions in a responsive manner. If someone is in a blackout, they could do things they would not recall once sober. They might agree to do something and not recall the agreement once sober. Drug combinations can exacerbate blackouts. Reporter's transcript 3-1540 to 1546, 3-1548, 3-1553 to 1554. If someone ingested three bottles of 18% malt liquor and was using cocaine and heroin during a short period of time and said they had a blackout, that would seem honest. Reporter's transcript 3-1546 to 1547. Appellant testified that he had committed the offenses against W and her daughter and felt terrible about it. He pled no contest to a 20-year sentence because he knew he was guilty. He did not plead guilty in the present case because he is not guilty. Reporter's transcript 3-1803, 3-1823 to 1824, 3-1839 to 1840. The first time appellant saw Virginia was outside a Mexican market when she wiped his windows for money. The next time she was babysitting for a friend. A week or two later, appellant told his friend that he wanted to see Virginia. They went to Akeisha's apartment where appellant picked up Virginia, reporter's transcript 3-1803 to 1806. Appellant and Virginia agreed on a fee of $25 for bondage sex. In 1998, one could get a prostitute in Compton for a $5 hit of rock cocaine. The extra money offered here was because appellant wanted something special. They stopped en route at a market, and appellant brought Virginia a large bottle of Peach Cisco and a pack of Salems. Once at appellant's house, they smoked some cocaine. Virginia drank Cisco, then got sick, kept passing out. Appellant asked if she was okay. She said she needed her heroin outfit. Appellant took her back to her van. She got her needle and drugs and returned to appellant's home where she injected herself. Reporter's transcript 3-1806 to 1809, 3-1816, 3-1819 to 1821, 3-1827 to 1828, 3-1832 to 1833, 3-1838 to 1839. At some point, appellant left to find more heroin for Virginia because she kept nodding off. Reporter's transcript 3-1811 to 1834. 3-1828 to 1832, 3-1833 to 1838. Appellant did not orally copulate Virginia. She did not orally copulate him. Appellant was frightened of HIV. They ended up not doing anything because Virginia kept getting sick and needing more drugs. Reporter's transcript 3-1809 to 1811, 3-1815 to 1817, 3-1823, 3-1827. Appellant did not threaten to rape Virginia. There was no need, as he'd already paid her for sex. He never hit her. He couldn't have sat on top of her as she orally copulated him because he had a waterbed and weighed about 200 pounds at the time. Reporter's transcript 3-1811 to 1812, 3-1841 to 1842. If appellant referred to W as a bitch, it was not personal. To appellant, every woman is a bitch. Reporter's transcript 3-1825 to 1826. Statement of facts. Jauncey, counts 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 21. Jauncey was 17 years old at the time of trial. For the past 6 years, she's told the police she was 5 years older because she is a prostitute and didn't want them to know she was a minor. At trial, Jauncey testified that she did not remember or did not want to answer a number of questions. When Jauncey was asked to testify at appellant's preliminary hearing, she laid on the floor and refused to leave because she had nothing to say. After police put restraints and shackles on Jauncey, she screamed and kicked, saying she did not want to go, reporter's transcript 4, 686 to 687. Jauncey did testify that she told Detective Haight that in November 1998, when Jauncey was 11, she met appellant at a Greyhound bus station in San Bernardino and he took her to Los Angeles. She testified she did not tell appellant she was 11 at the time and said she did not remember whether she told the detective she told appellant her age or if appellant told her that she was pretty and would take her on a date or if he gave her his telephone number if she agreed to date appellant. Jauncey testified she never told appellant her age, reporter's transcript 4, 684 to 696. 4, 693, 4, 708 to 709. Jauncey did not remember telling the detective she called appellant and met him at an auto body shop, that he showed her photographs of girls in short shorts and stilettos, or whether he asked her if she wanted to look like the girls in the photos. She did not remember telling the detective that appellant said she would look like the girls if she stayed with him, that he would buy her pretty clothes, or that she told appellant her parents didn't care about her, so she should go with him. Jauncey testified she went with appellant of her own free will, and he did not force her to do anything. Reporter's transcript 4690 to 692, 4694, 4709 to 710. Jauncey did not remember if she went to a motel with appellant or whether appellant told her he was a pimp and the woman in the pictures were his whores. Jauncey testified she did not know appellant was a pimp. She did not remember appellant asking if she would whore for him or promising her pretty clothes or saying her parents didn't care for her or letting her call them and when there was no answer saying that if they were worried they would have been there or that she then agreed to work for him. She did not remember telling the detective appellant said never take less than $50 for head, explained head meant oral sex, or that the customer should touch her breast, or she should fondle the customer's penis to make sure the person was not a police officer, or that if she was going to a hotel with a customer, she should first call appellant or bring the money to appellant right after sex, or that if she did all this, she would be rewarded with pretty clothes and appellant would take care of her. Reporter's transcript 4692 to 695. Jauncey testified that she did not remember telling the detective appellant then took her shopping for new clothes and had her hair and nails done, or that later two black men arrived. Appellant told Jauncey to just do what they say. One of the men took out his penis and said, just do it, suck my dick. She did not recall saying that she left that night to try to get away, but appellant found her and brought her back to the motel where she and appellant took showers, and appellant asked if Jauncey had ever had sex, and she said no, and that she didn't know anything about sex, reporter's transcript 4695 to 697. Jauncey did not remember telling the detective appellant laid on the bed, took out a condom, explained to Jauncey how to put it on his erect penis, and repeatedly demanded Jauncey orally copulate him until she complied. Then a short time later told Jauncey to lay face up and put his penis in her vagina, or that she demanded he stop because she was in pain, but that he did not stop until he decided to do so. She did not remember telling the detective that the next morning appellant introduced her to his other prostitutes, or that in the evening appellant took her to a house party in South Los Angeles, reporter's transcript 4697 to 699. Jauncey did not recall telling the detective that at the party, another one of appellant's prostitutes, a woman named Cinnamon, told Jauncey to stay with her, that she would show Jauncey how it's done. Or that Cinnamon was approached by a man at the party. She told Jauncey to follow them into the backyard, where Cinnamon orally copulated, the man was paid, and then told Jauncey, that's how it's done. Later at the party, another man approached Jauncey. They had sex. Jauncey felt bad afterwards, but felt better after being paid. Jauncey did not recall telling the detective she told Cinnamon she got paid. Cinnamon told her to give the money to Macbone. She told Cinnamon she wasn't going to. Cinnamon told appellant Jauncey was refusing to pay him. Appellant took the money from Jauncey's bra. Jauncey told appellant it was her money. She earned it. And appellant said, bitch, it's my money. All your money is my money. She did not remember telling the detective appellant slapped her repeatedly or that she dropped to the floor so as not to get hurt. Or that appellant slapped and choked her and said not to get him mad, did she want him to go to jail, or that they returned to the motel, or that the next day appellant asked Jauncey if she was mad at him because he had hit her, and to stop her from being angry, took her to Disneyland. Reporter's transcript 4699 to 702. She did not recall telling the detective that a few days later, appellant drove her to Figueroa to start street walking, telling her to touch customers in the groin to make sure they weren't law enforcement, and if they refused to be touched, to get out of the car or to look at the license plate to see if it was an undercover police car, or never to get in the car with a black man or girls because they would try to recruit her to work for another pimp, or never to make eye contact with the police officer, she could then be stopped, or saying that for the rest of the day she performed various acts of prostitution and gave all the money to appellant, or that she worked 7 days a week, sometimes earning up to $1,500 a day, or that appellant took her and other prostitutes to Arizona, Washington, D.C., New York, Nevada, and Florida to work, taking her to Pico and Alvarado beforehand to get a false identification card for flying. Reporter's transcript 4702-704. Jauncey did not recall telling police she was working for appellant when she was arrested on February 26, 2002, June 26, 2002, April 19, 2003, October 9, 2003, April 10, 2004, or June 18, 2004. Jauncey has been arrested a lot for prostitution. Jauncey testified she's been a prostitute since she was 11, has worked everywhere, never worked for a pimp, did not give money to appellant, lived everywhere, and stayed in group homes since she was 13. She always runs away from the homes to go back to work. Jauncey pays her own way and likes her life. Reporter's transcript 4702-703, 4729-735. Thank you.